Tonight we're gathered here remembering a cosmic story worthy of a Marvel movie. This is the story that roots us in our connection with all of creation. And at the same time, it's very personal. And I hope that you've been hearing us as we've been preparing you for that it is both this sweep of broad, amazing, but also something very specific. Now, when you hear that passage from Isaiah, there is the promise of the sweeping, dramatic, cinematic universe of, and again, these words, he will have all authority. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, we hear those words so casually in this season that it's almost easy just to kind of step aside. Well, what is that? My goodness, that means a lot. This is the very presence of God at the very beginning of all of creation. And that same God has come to be here, to be with us. Now, as much as we have been told by people in our life at this time of year, maybe our parents, maybe our partners or our spouses, that it's not about you, right? Right. I get that reminder frequently. This isn't about you. But, you know, I am here tonight to tell you, maybe this will make me really popular with you tonight. I want you to know that this is about you. Okay? So rest assured a bit in that. In fact, if you listen to the words that come from the angels to the shepherds, you know, they're out in the field minding their own business, kind of doing what shepherds do, and they are there with angels suddenly talking about what is happening in Bethlehem. But if you go back through and look at that really carefully, there's a lot of you in there. Let me go back. Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news to all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and laying in a manger. That moment was about those particular people and the very presence of God coming to them, to you. And these are not, I mean, we have this lovely idea of shepherds, walking around with a stick and another stick and maybe a kind of a cool-looking dog, right? Maybe ruggedly handsome, kind of like a Yellowstone sort of moment, right? But truth is, the shepherds at this time, and really for much of the world, and for even a reality that we live in now, shepherds are hardworking people. They're working class, and they are looked down upon. This crowd would have been understood as kind of dangerous when they came to town. You don't want to, I mean, maybe you want to trade with the shepherds. Maybe you would want to have economic exchange with them, but you would not want them in your house, much less your barn, right? These are working folk, and they are hard tack. Not the kind of people that a religious system, a society would say, well, angels would show up and announce the presence of the Lord. All the more so, amazing that the angels come and they're pointing at them, pointing at you, into this world, the King of the universe has shown up for you. And here's the sign that you can look for. So as much as this is a beautiful thing that sweeps across time, it is also a very personal thing that has a lot to do with not just what happened a couple thousand years ago halfway around the world, but something that is continuing to happen today, tonight, and tomorrow. Now tonight, as you came in, you walked by a couple of tables with some stickers for name tags, right? And I hope that you were able to kind of like jot your name down on that tag. I appreciate that you did that. When I first came here to be the pastor about a year and a half ago, I said quite confessingly, quite honestly, I cannot remember names to save my life, all right? And so people were lovely about, you know, we have a system where they log in and they print out the names. We did not do that tonight just to kind of keep things moving a little bit. The system takes some time and sometimes it's a little persnickety. But then those name tags help. And those name tags, those things that you're wearing now, actually kind of reveal, right, who you are, right? You can, in case you forget, there you are, right? But it also is an act of hospitality because you can look at Seth and say, oh, well, there's Seth right there, and he's, you know, he's got his name. Right? I don't have my name tag on. I should. I'm sorry. I mean, those names that we are given, those names that we have that we carry throughout our life are those kind of nuggets, those seeds of identity. They are something that identifies us and can actually kind of give us some of the character that we have. I have never known a person named Dusty who was dull. So we also carry other names, of course. I mean, some of us carry names at times that can be really ugly. Last Sunday, I was coming here to church. I was on my way to church, and I was going to make a left turn. I was in one of those lanes where the light flashes yellow, and it's like, if you can make it across there safely, go for it, dude. You know, that's the kind of message that is being sent in that. And so I was assessing the situation, trying to see if I could make it across the way. But the person behind me did not agree with my assessment. And yeah, I knew it was you, yeah. And they so disagreed with my assessment that they began to encourage me with their horn and the Northern Virginia gestures of hospitality. So I know that I got a new name in that moment. And the reason why I know that I got that new name, because I was actually assigning a name to that person myself. And I'm sorry about that. I hate to confess that. I needed to kind of get that off my chest. We're giving each other names all the time, right? We're kind of like casting these kinds of ideas about who you are. You know? And some of them, you know, are labels. Sometimes those labels stick. Sometimes those labels deeply hurt. Sometimes those are wounding. Sometimes they're labels that become matters of pride, but that pride comes from the weariness and the brokenness that is inside of that. That we would be members of a certain culture or group. That we would be different. These labels, these names, they're happening all the time. Perhaps there's a diagnosis. Sometimes, you know, we visit a doctor, we're having a problem, and they say, oh, well, you are dealing with this issue. Perhaps it's an issue of diabetes. Perhaps it's an issue of cancer. Perhaps it's an issue of mental illness, depression, anxiety. But we have to remember that we are much more You are much more than that name, that label that gets placed upon you. So we're given a name, we earn names, we aspire to names, we try to live up to names, we try to live away from names, like the name that was given to me last Sunday morning, or the name that I gave to that person, regrettably. Sometimes names are names of endearment. I know that I'm in a good place. I know I'm in a good place when my wife looks at me and uses the name Pookie. Nothing wrong is going to happen. Nothing bad is going to happen when Pookie comes out of my wife's mouth. Love that. Love that. But then, you know, there are other words that Gina and I will use for each other. We both do this. I don't want to make Gina look like the person who's doing this. I certainly do this too. But we have words that kind of depend on the context, right? And so they might be endearing words. They might be endearing words like sweetie, all right? So sometimes we will look at each other and we will be in conversation and something lovely will happen. But you know, sweetie will be used, and I've learned that, you know, that's kind of a utility word that could go either way. Because sometimes sweetie might, you know, lead to something very nice and pleasant, and then sometimes the beginning of a sentence with sweetie will be an invitation to reconsider my behavior. Sweetie. And one of the words I love is, one of the names that I love is love. Now, it is commonly used amongst British people, but other people use it as well. And it is a term of endearment. It is a term of speaking to someone in such a way to say, I care for you, love. You, many of you may have heard me address you in that way as you were working your way out the door, and I mean that. Sometimes love can, you know, can kind of take on that romantic sort of implication, but oftentimes it can also mean, you know, I just really am concerned about you and care for you as a person, as a human being, as a member of my community, as a part of a group that I would be in, right? I find that that phrase helps because it helps me to live into what I really hope that I'm doing as a person, which is to love you. And that's not because I'm really kind of a sweet guy. Although, ask my wife, she'll tell you, Pookie's a really sweet guy. No, it's because I try to follow the one who came into this world that we remember tonight. That's part of the, that is not part of the job. That is fundamental to who we are as people who follow the Christ who comes. I was reminded of this when I ran across a poem that was written for the series that we have been working through, and it is by Reverend Sarah Speed, who is a poet and a pastor and a great, great soul. She writes about her grandmother. The poem is called Hey Love, and it reflects on her grandmother who suffered from a brain aneurysm when she was 51 years old. I'm going to read this for you. Stay with me. My grandmother was strong. That's what they tell me. She played piano and clipped coupons. She raised four kids. One was sick. One never would, never could grow up. But she loved them all. And when life fell apart in brand new ways, she bought books. She went back to school. She started all over again. She was the kind of strong that reminds you of a live oak, the kind of woman, the kind of tree you want to crawl up into and whisper, "Tell me how you did it. Tell me how you survived the storm." She was 51 when a vessel in her brain burst. Blood coloring outside the lines, blood stealing large swaths of her strength with every pulse. After that, she never did play piano, read, or clip coupons. After that, she never could find the words. Nouns became things to point out. Names became numbers. Conversations creaked and slowed, but one word stayed. One word stayed. The name of my baptism never crossed her lips, but when my grandmother saw me, she'd say, "Hey, love." My grandmother and God have this in common. Both know my name. Both call me love. And I came here tonight to offer this reminder that in the sweep of this cosmic miracle, impacting billions of souls, nameless mobs of people swept up into this reality, in the sweep of all this, God calls you by name. Jesus, with those small eyes, with those grown adult eyes, with the eyes of God, looks at you and says, "Hey, love." I'd like to offer this word of blessing. Friends, God knows you completely and loves you fully. As you draw near to Jesus, rest assured that you are not a mere face in the crowd, but a beloved child of God, known and called by name. In the light of this glorious truth, may you be a bearer of peace and a harbinger of love today and forevermore. Amen.